This morning, I have one verse as a text. Already, I have dealt with verse 13, to where he said that we are the salt of the earth. We're salt, and salt is a preservative, and we are here to preserve this world. That's the only reason America is not completely collapsed, are the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who really know Him. And also, we are there in a preventive measure and in a purging measure, purification measure. But I've dealt with all of that. But now look down at verse number 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now, when I come back to this passage of Scripture, I'm going to deal with especially that bushel in verse 15 and with the city. But right now, will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you now for letting us be in the house of the Lord. God, thank you for the wonderful, sweet Spirit of God that we've sensed from the very beginning this morning in the Sunday school hour, here in the auditorium and all the other Sunday school classes. Thank you for gifted teachers who love the Lord. And God, I pray, God, that you'd bless now. Thank you for the choir, the special music this morning, and also for the congregational singing. Father, we enter into your presence with thanksgiving, into your courts with praise. And God, I pray now that you'd speak to us from this passage of Scripture. And God, I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The other night, we went to hear David Jeremiah and the Gaither group was there and some other singers. We had a great time, and up at there, about 20,000 other people there in the PNC arena. And when Dr. Jeremiah was preaching, he pointed out something that I wanted to point out to you as well this morning prior. I guess he's been listening to me as well on the internet. But when he says this in this passage of Scripture, ye are the light of the world. Now, on Wednesday during the day, or Wednesday evening one, Brother Mitchell and I were talking, and he was talking about this great multitude of people that came. There's a multitude, and then there's his disciples. And he said, from some of the things the Lord said in this Sermon on the Mount, evidently there were quite a few already believers. Now, always there were those people who followed him. And they gathered around him as he was teaching. And some came for the bread, some came for the miracles, some came because they loved him and believed on him as the Savior, Messiah. And so here when he uses the word ye or you, it's an unusual thing. You could say, like, I'm talking to you, meaning all of you, or I could say I'm talking to you, and I could point to certain ones. I'm talking to you. In this occasion where he says you're the salt of the earth and where he says that you're the light of the world, he's referring to certain people in that great multitude of people. They are the lights of the world. They are the salt of the earth. They're the ones. It's only believers. And so when he says that you're the light of the world, the first thing I want to point out to you in this passage of Scripture, when you come to that place, he's talking about those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Christ, you're not what he says in this passage of Scripture. You're the light of the world. Now, what is the figure of light? What does it mean? Well, some of you, if you remember science class or whatever, light really is a combination of all known colors. If you have a spectrum or prism, you could it show the spectrum of all those colors, much like the rainbow that you see. And when you have that, you have light. Where did light come from? God spoke it into existence. He said, "Let there be light." And so the only source of light really is God Himself. And so when He's talking about you being the light, He will make reference of Himself as being the light of the world. But the only source of light is God. He's the source of light. And something just really catches my attention in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. And it says this, God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and in the face of Jesus Christ. That's a powerful verse. God commanded the light. And notice what it said. He commanded the light out of darkness. Isn't that something? I looked at that figure and I could see if I turned on a light here and it would shine out there. If this building was dark, the light source goes out to where the darkness is at. But God is so powerful that He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. What an awesome God He's able to do. And here's the figure. I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was blind and could not see. He said, if they don't believe not, it's because the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. And before I was saved, before you were saved, we were in spiritual darkness. But God commanded light to shine out of that darkness. And that's the picture here. It is the light shining out of us who were wicked, lost sinners on our way to hell. And God, who saved us, came into our heart by the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And when he goes through here and he talks about the lamp or the light or a candle, he's talking about his reflected light in the life of a believer. And he said, you're the light of the world. And so the figure of this light represents God's presence himself, the person of the Holy Spirit of God, working in us and shining through us and using us for his glory. It is not I that live, Paul said, but Christ liveth in me. And any kind of spiritual light that I have, and throughout the Bible, it's used in that way. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verse 3, it says that the Jews were to be a light unto the Gentiles, that God used in the Gentiles. He says, you remember where Paul writes one time, and he said, they were ensamples to us. That means that God used those Jewish believers that believed he was coming to cast light even into the Gentile world. And later when Christ himself came, and then particularly when he sent the person of the Holy Spirit of God to be inside, that light was manifest out of darkness, out of an old earthen vessel. And when you come down and we begin to look at this passage of Scripture where he talks about men lighting a candle, and it's not always a wick, a wax type candle. I'll have to explain that, I'm sure, a little bit later. I probably won't get a chance to. But here he's talking about that light. The Jewish rabbis were often called by this title. They were the lamp of Israel. The rabbis, those who were students of the Word of God, they were the lamp to give off light, the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ himself came, and he shed abroad in our hearts the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get saved, the light comes on and he shines out of your life for all eternity. And thank the Lord for that. Notice what he says in the book of book of Psalms 18, verse 28. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Isn't it great? David said, for you will light my lamp. The Lord will enlighten my darkness. God, the Holy Spirit comes in our heart. We're in darkness. It reminds me of what we call theological terms, the depravity of man. How lost is man? How far did he fall? Did he fall to a certain point and he's got some speck of goodness in him? No, the Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one. Did he fall to where he knows a little bit, but he doesn't know everything? No, the Bible said there's none that understandeth it when it comes to spiritual things. Matter of fact, it says the natural man cannot even perceive or understand the spiritual thing. We're in total darkness. I don't care how much public education you had, college, doctor's degree, or whatever, from the spiritual realm, you're in darkness until the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shines in you. And when you come to know Christ, that's when your light your lamp is lit. That spirit inside of you, my dear friend, is made alive in the person of the Holy Spirit of God, and the light begins to shine out. Have you ever been around people that you could just see something different about them? They were just glowing. Not like I have got a comment one time. I preach in Henderson, and I think I forgot now how many years in a row. The pastor said it's 50 years in a row I preached revivals up there, but Regina and I counted it back. It's only like 38 or 39 years that I've been going up there. But there's a Bojangles, and you know, it's a long ways from here to Lewisburg, I mean from here to Henderson. And I have to leave early to beat the traffic between here and Raleigh, and so it just works out somehow or another in God's divine providence that I usually have a few minutes when I get there, and I got to go right past, I don't have to, but my car goes right on past the turn into the church, and it pulls in the Bojangles. And I ran in one night, and it was, I cut a little bit close, but I got me some Bojangles, and I ate and just real quick and took off, and there were some folks standing on the porch at the church when I got there, and I was coming up, and one of the ladies said, "Brother Billy, you got the glow of God on you." And I said, "Oh, that's chicken grease. I'm sorry." But have you ever been around anybody that there was something about them? There was something different about them. There was a glow about them. There was something. Now, if you know Christ, it's easier to recognize, but I'm glad that God fixed it to where the world would know that. You're the light of the world, but your light is His light and His light alone. Anything I do, and if you focus on the lamp and not the light, you'll be sorely disappointed. It's the light that makes the difference. He is the light of the world, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And thank the Lord for that. The lamp. In those Jewish homes, I'm going to do this real quick. I want to share this with you, just this first little part. He said, "He'll light my lamp." Now, I have at home, and Regina has picked up some of them in pottery places and everything, and we saw some in Israel. It's not like our kerosene lamps that we have. Their lamp was a pottery bowl. And they could be a various shapes or sizes, but they would have a little pinched edge on it, and there'd be a wick, a cloth or whatever, down in that, and inside of that was the oil. And so when you see the earthen vessel, that's our human frame. We're the lamp. We have a human body. We have a soul and spirit inside, but it's that human body and that earthen vessel. And then he said that there's a wick, and you put oil in there. Now, they burned olive oil for light. And without the oil, the vessel gives no light. The wick doesn't even give any light if there's no oil. You remember the story in the Bible about the young virgins who ten young virgins went, five had oil and five didn't. And then when the Lord came and said, "Arise, the bridegroom cometh," the five ran to the ones who had oil and said, "Give us your oil that we might light our lamps," because you don't have. But they said this, "We can't give you ours. You have to go get your own." They said, "Goodbye." And the truth of the matter is that you personally have to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't have the oil inside of you, there's no way you could ever glow. And a lot of things I want to share with you. But if you remember, how many of you have used oil lamps in days gone by? All right? Everybody doing that's got white hair. All right? Except for those who want to have a little country accent in your home. But I do know this, that there's a point in time when that wick will get to smoking and it'll cloud up the globe on it. What you got to do then, you got to extinguish the flame and you got to trim the wick. Sometimes there's things that come in my life and your life that cause us not to shine as bright as we ought to. And as for me and you who are Christians, it is important that we stay clean. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all sin. And he'll do that. But we can't have junk in our life that would hinder our light from shining out. That lamp, my dear friend, is the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you? And thank the Lord that He is. He's in every believer. And I praise God for the fact that when you get saved, He comes into your heart crying, Abba, Father. And my dear friend, you can know Him if you'll ask Him to come in. I want to turn over to chapter 6 and 1 Corinthians and look at verse number 19. I want to reemphasize this verse. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God? How did you get lit? How did you get the light to shine out? God did that. It was of God. And ye are not your own. You belong to Him. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He owns us. We are His lamp. My dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to shine. I want to ask you this morning, how does your light shine? How long has it been since somebody asked you for the reason of the hope that's in you? I was preaching the other night in revival, and I made a statement that kind of dawned on me. I've heard more Christians say more about Joe Biden in the last several months than I've heard them say anything about Jesus. Most people have Him more on their mind and more in their mouth than they do the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's because we can't be light unless we're shining for Jesus. Amen. That light is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He wants to shine. He said, you are, not you will become, but you are. Several years ago, I was reading an article, and it was about Christians in China, in communist China. And someone asked, they are renowned, they are known well for their prayer life because of what they have to face in a communist country. They have much time with the Lord in their private time, just seeking His face. But then they're witnesses because they know the atrocities of their government, and they know that their only hope is to be saved and go to heaven one day. And so somebody asked them about their discipleship program or whatever, and they asked, when do your new converts begin to witness? And the brother said, when does a candle begin to shine? And he said, as soon as it's lit. He said, that's when you begin to witness. As soon as you get saved by the grace of God, you will become a witness for Christ. And it'll be for His glory, or you could be a reproach on His name. You have that choice. But now, if you don't know Him as your Savior and Lord, you have to receive that light. God commanded light to shine out of darkness. And He said, you have the Spirit by God. So how do you get saved? How do you come to that place? You have to know that you're lost in the first place, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when the Holy Spirit of God convicts you of your losses and you know that you're not saved, then you have to get born again. And the gospel is this, according to Paul in the book of Corinthians, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He arose again according to the Scriptures. He bore our sins on the cross. He paid our sin debt. He was buried. He's resurrected. His resurrection proves that the debt was paid. Brother Barry read that to us this morning. The proof of the resurrection, and He was declared to be the Son of God through the Holy Spirit of God, but because of the resurrection from the dead. Sin, death, the grave, hell had no power over Him. And God raised Him up. And He is God's Son. He is God incarnate in human flesh. And here's what He said. Jesus, God, God's Son, the sacrifice for your sin. He said, come unto Me, and I will in no wise cast you out. It doesn't qualify that as to who can come. Anybody can come. Doesn't qualify that as to if you don't have but just so many sins, come. He said, whoever you are, with all the sin you've ever committed, with everything that's in your vile heart, if you'll come to Him, He'll not cast you out. He'll save you. And the Bible says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if this was your home and that was your front door, I've been doing this a long time. But when I visit anybody's home, I'm talking about if they are members of our church, been here ever since I've been here before. When I knock on the door, I take two steps backwards always. I walk away from the door, get away from the door. I don't want to be standing there when they open the door. But when I knock on the door, I don't care who they are, how well I know them, I never open that door of my own accord and go in without an invitation. And the Lord Jesus Christ the same way this morning. He'll knock on your heart's door. He'll tell you you need to be saved. But He will not come in until you invite Him to come in. That's what it means. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Can I tell you right now where you're sitting at, if you know you need to be saved, in the internet, wherever you might be, out in the media audience, if this morning you would ask the Lord Jesus Christ and call on Him, He wouldn't be knocking, He wouldn't be speaking if He didn't want to save you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants to save you. And if you'll come to that place where you realize that you're lost and you'll believe on Him and open the door, He'll come in. Would you bow your heads in prayer? You're the light of the world. But the truth of the matter is, and he knew that, and they learned that they didn't have any light of their own accord. They were going to be witnesses unto Him. Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, they would become witnesses in a very special way with the Holy Spirit of God indwelling them and the light of Christ shining out of them to witness to a lost and dying world. How many of you would say, Brother Billy, I'm a Christian and I know the Lord, but because of my carelessness, my lack of faithfulness to the house of God, my lack of prayer, maybe in some areas I've disobeyed the Lord, maybe I've got too involved in other things and my love for Jesus and His church, the people, I've gotten cold, I need to trim a wick. I need to clean the globe. I need to let Him do that. I want to have my wick trimmed and the globe clean. I want to shine as brightly as possible as the light of the world. I want Him to shine through me. And preacher, will you pray that I could do that? While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, would you raise your hand? All over the congregation, raise your hand. I want to be a light for Jesus. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Is there anybody here this morning who'd say, Brother Billy, I don't have that light inside of me. The light's not shone into my darkness. He's not lit my lamp. I'm not a Christian. I've never been saved, but I want to be. And Pastor, will you pray for me that I'd trust Christ and believe on Him before it's too late? Again, I want to reiterate, I'm not going to embarrass you, I'm not going to come to you. I'm going to do what I said. I'll pray for you. If you're here this morning in that state, would you raise your hand and say, Preacher, pray for me. If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven, but I want to know that. Anybody in the whole building, I'm looking all up and down, up and down. Let's stand together, will you please? Brad's going to sing a verse or two of a song. We invite you to come. While you have your heads bowed and eyes closed, dear Lord Jesus, speak to hearts now. God, help people to do now what they'll be glad for all eternity they've done. Help them to trust Jesus. And I pray, God, that Christians, they know the Holy Spirit of God's inside of them. He's been grieved and He's put His finger on some things. Help them to get around this altar and get clean and leave shining brightly for the Lord. And I'll thank you. While we continue an attitude of prayer, if I can help you pray with you, some are coming to the altar already, you come right on and you just do business with God. But if we can help you, I'll be glad to meet you here. Pray with you if you need to come. You come on. God bless you.